This is an entry from Indra Das, who's the organizer of the Nam Sankirtan at Sri Krishna Bhavan Mandir in Vrindavan. It is not just a matter of our approach to the holy name, but it is a matter of Radha and Krishna being inspired to come to be with us, to keep us company. So he's saying it's not our approach to the holy name, but we have to inspire somehow by our behavior, by the sincerity of our chanting and our service attitude. We have to inspire Radha and Krishna, who are in the Maha Mantra, to come and keep us company. When Krishna is attracted to the sweetness of our heartfelt feelings towards him, or our heart's attraction toward him, or our determination to get his attention, then he comes to see us. He comes to keep us company. He takes up residence in our heart and he dances on our tongue. So this is Indra's Prabhu's realization he's sharing in this book. So Krishna is attracted by we have to attract Krishna to the sweetness of our heartfelt feelings toward him. Of course, then we have to question, do we have any feelings? Do you have any heartfelt feelings towards Krishna? And then, what is our determination to get his attention? Because the 11th offense against the holy name is what? Chanting with inattention. So that means that our mind is attentive to other thoughts or other ideas besides Krishna's name. Or we become so attentive to Krishna's name that we fall asleep. That's really attentive. Can you imagine being so attentive to taking prasadam that you fall asleep? I don't think anyone would ever have that experience of being inattentive while taking prasadam. Are we inattentive when passing stool? Do you fall asleep when you're passing stool? I don't think so. We're very attentive. We're very attentive to bodily needs and bodily activities. But to spiritual activities, we're very inattentive. We're not very attentive. So Indra Prabhu is saying that Krishna becomes attracted to our determination to get his attention. So one way we show our determination, what is one way to show our determination to attract the attention of Krishna when chanting Hare Krishna? Desire. Thinking, thinking, feeling, and acting. So feeling is desiring. Thinking, feeling, or desiring. Then there's action. So practical action is the best way to show your determination. Like someone might say, husband might say to his wife, I'm really determined to maintain you. I'm really determined. I have a strong desire to maintain you. I have a strong desire to maintain you and take care of you. And she says, so why don't you get up and go to work? So you're just sitting there in that house. You're not going anywhere. You're not working. But really, I have a strong determination. I really have a strong desire. So that's desire, but there's no action. I really have a desire to be attentive while chanting. Of course, that's the start. But then there's a practical platform of action. So when we're chanting Hare Krishna, if we find ourselves falling asleep, then we show our determination to be attentive, because sleeping is inattention, right? Gross inattention to the holy name is falling asleep. So we can show our determination to be attentive while chanting by standing up. And usually our ego is such that, why should I stand up? Let me sit here and fall asleep. And then the classic example that you must have seen and maybe experienced yourself, someone, yourself or others, are sitting in the temple room chanting together, and you or that other person falls asleep. And then the temple commander says, "Prabhu, wake up. I'm not sleeping." Yes, as I said the other day, the ego never sleeps. The mind sleeps, the senses sleep, the body sleeps, but the ego is all ever alert, like a 24-hour Akanda watchdog, Akanda Kuta, unbroken watchdog, always attentive.
Ha! 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 I wasn't sleeping. Ha!
I dare you to say I was sleeping. And then if the temple commander says, "Listen, I have 200 witnesses here," and he'll still deny it. So, no, they're all blind. I was just, for a second, my eyes closed. It was 25 minutes. So we're very expert. So one way is showing that we're determined to be attentive when chanting, because Bhaktivinoda Thakura says in Ari Nam Chintamani that inattention is the root cause of all other offenses. Offending guru, offending shastra, offending devotees, and misinterpretation and imagination about the holy name is all due to inattention. So when the practical action is that we stand up, or we wash our face, or we take a cold shower, or we go walk on the roof, or we chant louder, something. And we try in an active way to maintain attention, whatever it takes to be attentive to the holy name. Stand in the corner and listen to the vibration of our name. I remember devotees, many devotees often stand in the corner. Hare Krishna, I get absorbed in the holy name that way. Question?
No, I just have a comment.
Yes.
A lot of action, even done throughout the day, to prepare for chanting, I mean, that can also show determination. It's like a lifestyle, you know, what you eat.
Yeah, exactly.
What you...
Yeah, it's all action, right?
Where you know, how much...
Yeah, our determination to be attentive is that we think, well, gee, it seems that I'm eating a big meal at night. The next day I'm falling asleep during japa. I'm really determined to be awake when I chant my japa. So to show my determination, be attentive next morning, I'm not going to eat tonight. I'm only going to take a cup of hot milk. And then you see if it works. See if that creates a more clear state of mind and a more alert and attentive practice of japa. What else?
I would just say eating, sleeping, bathing, depending.
Everything. In other words, if we establish the fact that attentive japa is the key to advancement. Attention, the five A's in chanting, which are discussed in AOC. You know AOC? Art of Chanting. What's the first A?
Attraction,
attention, absorption, attachment, affection. Very nice section. Accompanying prayers are there to cultivate each of those positive attributes. So, attention, attraction is the first principle. You can't be attentive to something you're not attracted to. Can you be attentive to something you are not attracted to?
No.
So when your daughter is watching cartoons and she says, "Mommy, sit down and watch with me." I say, "Really, I don't have much attraction to cartoons." So you can't be very attentive. So this is having attraction for the holy name. And Vrajamohan Prabhu was saying that we orient our whole day and all the activities within our day towards this one point. The point is that, for example, if you're working in a job, you're not the owner, but you're working there. So that job, because you're hired there, depends, it demands your energy and your attention, and you have to have your stamina. So if you go to work and after about 2 hours you start falling asleep, then what will the boss say? They say, listen, my friend, you better adjust your life in such a way that you can be awake while you're working here, otherwise you have to find another job, because I'm not paying you to sleep over here. I'm paying you to perform 8 hours of work in my office or factory or whatever. So yes, I'm sorry, I was up late last night watching cricket, you know, Australia-India cricket match, live broadcast from Australia, but it was late our time. Okay, whatever your excuse is, but if it happens again, you're out. This is the hard facts of material life. The Krishna is very merciful because every day we watch the cricket match and every day, the next day in Java, we fall asleep. And the Krishna is so tolerant that he allows us to pick up the beads for another day and chat another day of sleepy rounds until we realize that early to bed, early to rise makes one healthy, wealthy, and attentive in his Java. It's a modification of an old phrase. Wise, that's the wise man. The wise man is very attentive in his japa at all costs. So what we're trying to accomplish, our 24 hours of our day is simply an orientation and a preparation. That's a nice point you said. The 24 hours of our day should be directed. Everything I'm doing is for this. Just like, for example, if someone's goal is to win an Olympic medal in the Olympics every 4 years or whatever it is. So for 4 years before the Olympic trials, he will be in what they call training for the Olympics. So he's eating a certain diet, high protein diet, and Dr. what is it, Joe Weimer's protein powder, and he's lifting weights. He swims for 1 hour, he runs for 2 hours, he lifts weights for 1 hour. He has very regulated sleep, and he's not fooling around with women. Because if he loses his power, then he can't be very strong for the Olympics. So at least even these Olympic champions also, they prove they're celibate, and they're really smart. Because if they're not celibate, they can't be very strong physically or mentally. So they control themselves, they restrain themselves for 4 years, day after day after day, very rigorous training, isn't it? To win that, to enter that competition, win that gold medal. So every day we have an Olympic competition. When we sit down to chant japa, it's Maya, the country of Maya and inattention, against the country of Krishna and attention. So one team is the Krishna team, which is attentive japa, and the other team is Maya's team. In other words, Pakistan is Maya, India is Krishna. So who's going to win the Olympics? So if we think of it, that every day I'm going into the Olympics chanting tournament, then I have to prepare myself throughout the day, be very regulated in my eating and sleeping. Yogi doesn't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. Because he's thinking, I'm in training. Oh, why are you taking rest so early? Come on, stay up and watch this movie, stay up and watch this thing. Come on, have a good time, have fun. No, I have to make sacrifice. I have to control my tendencies. I'm sorry. I have an Olympic tryout tomorrow. I'm in the Olympics tomorrow. You're not on the sports team. I'm on the sports team. Just like you have friends in college, and they're on the sports team, so they're more demanding life. They're in school plus they're playing sports. Come on, let's go. Someone says having a party. No, I can't go. I have to take a rest early because I'm in training. Okay. So devotees are in training. So this is, we should think that if I just let my senses loose and I eat all, so much overeating, oh, this is very good, chugga chugga bok, and then I'll be heavy, I'll be very heavy, and then I'll just sleep too heavy and I'll wake up dull-brained, dull-minded, then I'll be inattentive. There's too much tamagun in my system. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Krishna Samhita that the proper cultivation of Krishna consciousness is a holistic approach to life. It involves physical culture, mental culture, psychic culture, and of course, ultimately and most importantly, spiritual culture. It's not lopsided. It's not a lopsided lifestyle. Simply Hare Krishna, and no exercise, and no proper diet, and no proper social infrastructure, and no proper social dealings with one another. There's all, as I was mentioning, that Rupa Goswami, he's explaining that before we can realize our sin, I was telling this in Mayapur, before we can realize that it was quite appropriate, because that's a community there. There are 1,200 devotees living on the campus, in that campus, ISKCON property, and there's another 2,000 outside. It's a large community. So it's quite an appropriate point. You're saying, Rupa Goswami is saying, he's giving Upadeshamrita, 11 instructions to attain, 11 steps to spiritual perfection, beginning with the body. That's because that's where we start. We're in a body, the Atma, Jivarasura Paya Krishna Nityaras. The Jiva is the eternal servant of Krishna. And we have this material body and spiritual body. Siddhadeva is a spiritual body, which is encapsulated in a seed-like form in the heart of this material body. So he's explaining that we start at the body. We start with where we are. Where are we? We're in bodily consciousness. And we're completely controlled by the mind and senses and the pushings of this mind and senses. So he says, all right, let's start. Let's start where we are. Ground zero. Ground zero. Where are we? I think I'm a woman. I think I'm a man. What is a bodily concept? And so I'm pushed by my mind. I'm pushed by my tongue. I'm pushed by my belly. Surva Goswami gets down. It starts with the brass tacks. Like they say, get down to brass tacks. Vacho vegam, asakura vegam, jiva vegam, udapasta vegam. Vegam, pushing, forces, uncontrollable forces and pushings of tongue, eat, 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 genitals, sex, 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 and stomach, and sleeping, and anger, krodha, anger.
Hey, why is this wrong?
So much anger people have inside of them. Anger is frustrated desire. More anger, more material desires. So then, finally, on midway, before the midway point, because the final conclusion, we start with the material body which we are attached to, and the goal of bhakti, the goal of sadhana, yoga sadhana, bhakti yoga sadhana, is to realize our internal deha, our spiritual body, siddhadeha, and that's the 11th instruction of nectar instruction, upadeshamrita, is to realize one's siddhadeha, eternal spiritual body, uncover his eternal loving relationship with Krishna in a particular mode of loving service, sthayiva, madhurati, or sakirati, vatsalivati. And then, in that spiritual body, live in Vrindavan, and ideally, or in some cases, live on the banks of Radhakund, in one spiritual body, rendering service to the Astakali Lila of Radha and Krishna throughout the day and night. It's the 11th instruction. Begin with the material body and end up with the spiritual body. Begin in the material world, which is the sensual plane. This is the plane of senses. Sense indriya. Indriya, man, buddhi, deha, sharir. But then we have to come to the plane of transcendence. Transcendence. And that's the spiritual plane of dedication, loving service to the charming and beautiful sweet Lord, the Absolute Sri Krishna. So now we come to the fourth verse and it talks all about community relations. Very interesting. To actually leave the bodily platform and to enter the spiritual platform and to realize our siddhadeya, we have to become expert in community relations. Right? Communities are made of people, groups of people, men and women. So when you have communities, then you have social intercourse. You have exchanges, physical, mental, and verbal exchanges. So therefore, he gives the guideline to create a harmonious community of Vaishnavas. It's called Vaishnav Raja Sabha. Vaishnav Raja Sabha. This means that we must learn to relate with other Vaishnavas, of the various levels, And we must learn to cultivate loving relationships, because the spiritual world is a community. Brajadham, Brajabhumi. There are no nuclear families there. There are no isolated apartments in apartment houses. It is a unified whole, a unified field. There's Krishna in the center, and everyone's moving around that center point. So there's only one family there, a Krishna community. There's only one Gotra there. What is that Gotra? Achyuta Gotra, infallible. So he, Rupa Goswami, explains, it's very interesting that there are only 11 instructions, 11 steps to spiritual perfection. And one of those, the most important 11 instructions out of the millions and millions of instructions in the Vedic literature, is all about community relations. Tadati pratigrinati bhumte bhojayate jiva. He says that we have to learn to love in community. We have to learn to love the Vaishnavas. Tadati pratigrinati bhumte bhojayate jiva. We must learn to love, express love in six different ways. Sadgunam, sadgunam pratilakshanam. Or sadlakshana, priti lakshana. This is the six types of priti lakshana, characteristics or exchanges of love. So Prabhupada often said, we can never love Krishna without loving the devotees of Krishna. Because the spiritual world is not just us and Krishna. It's me and Krishna. There's so many devotees are there, the gopis, the gopas, the cows, the animals. So we have to learn to love the animals and love the men, love the women, all on the basis of Krishna. Bhakta dog, bhakta crow. That's when we go to a new place, then we have to love the animals there, especially when we live in the dham, because these are all the paraphernalia, all these trees, all the trees and birds and animals, the holy dham, are all the paraphernalia for the Lord's divine pleasure. This is Leela Bhumi. Purushottam Kshetra. So these are Jagannath's crows and Jagannath's fish and Jagannath's birds that are special. So every morning we put out some ladus for the crows. They don't waste time. They're not inattentive when it comes to taking that prasadam. They're very attentive. And they chant also, Hari, 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 Hari. Because Mahaprabhu was chanting Hari Hari. And they put it out the prasadam, but they don't even have time to say the prayer. They just say Hari Hari and they eat it. Call a few friends over for prasadam. And then they say, Honore, Honore. They hang around my window and say, come on, give me some more. I said, tomorrow. So, it's a lifetime of preparation. Prabhupada, one title of the Leelamrita is called Lifetime of Preparation, from Prabhupada's birth until 1965 when he boarded the Jaladuta. There were originally seven books published in the Leelamrita, single books, and then they made some big fat book in India. There's seven sections, and the first one is called Lifetime in Preparation, and the second one is called Planting the Seed. Have you seen?
Yes.
Planting the Seed is 1965 to 1967. This includes Prabhupada's establishing ISKCON in New York in July 14th, 1966, and then opening a temple in San Francisco, Montreal. Like this. So we have our attentive japa is a lifetime of preparation. So a lifetime is simply a measurement of successions of 7 days. 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. Right? So each day is one portion of seven, one seventh of our lifetime. Each day is 1/7 of our lifetime. Because our life is simply a series of 7 days. Namaste? So each day is 1/7 of our life. How many percentage of that? 1/7? 12%?
Four.
How many?
14%.
So each day is 14% of our life. So each day should be, instead of we say a lifetime in preparation for chanting a tenth of japa, we can say a daytime in preparation. So now if we go out and run around the town and everything till 1 o'clock and all that, which is also, it's a special thing, this is exception, not the rule, then tomorrow morning our japa will be inattentive because we'll be tired. Any other point?
As well as there was one quote by Srila Prabhupada where he said that you must keep your mantra, you must keep your Hare Krishna mantra potent.
Potent, powerful, strong. Powerful, strong. How do you do that?
And then the answer to that was by accepting what is favorable for your bhakti and rejecting what is.
By Sharanagati. Your holy name becomes powerful by purity. Purity is the potency. So the more we surrender to Krishna, the more we attain the mercy of Krishna and become purified. So there's six symptoms of surrender. Anupaliya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. So Krishna, when he sees our determination to get his attention, then he will come to see us. He will come to keep us company, take up residence in our heart and dance on our tongue. The simple fact that Krishna has captivated our hearts and our hearts go to him, naturally Krishna will reciprocate again and again by coming and pasturing on our tongues in various ways. He comes in the form of Nam Sankirtan, in the form of our Nikunja Seva and our Nam Bhajan. So he's equating attentive japa and just the whole idea of developing our attraction for Krishna, the person, that our tongue becomes a goshta. Some points from Parthasarathi Das Goswami, who we met the first day or so, we were in the Samudra. 16 rounds is the minimum one should chant daily, but one should try to chant more and increase the number of rounds. And Chaitanya Shikshamrita Thakur Bhaktivinoda gives a definition of a Madhyam Bhakta. A Madhyam Bhakta is one who chants more and more, gradually increasing his chanting to 3 lakhs every day. That is, on the beads. Off the beads, one should be chanting Nirantara, which means chanting continuously, constantly, without cessation. So his definition of a Madhyam Bhakta, not even an Uttam Bhakta, is 3 lakhs a day. Hare Krishna. At any rate, don't be discouraged. When you hear descriptions like this. But the point is, we should not be satisfied. I did my 16 rounds. Bas ho gaya. Now let's get on with life. I work my 8 hours in the office, now let's go home and have a good time. Our job is 24 hours a day. Our kirtaniya?
Sadhari.
Satatam?
Kirtanam.
Kirtiyantam. Bhagavad Gita. The quality, not only the quantity of rounds, but then the quality has to increase. So this is one way to do this. So what am I about to tell you?
How to increase the quality in japa.
I'm going to tell you one way to, or at least Parthasarathi Das Goswami is going to tell us one way to increase the quality of chanting. He says we can do this by meditating on Gaura Lila. There is a natural progression in japa meditation, where one starts his meditation on Gaura Lila and works his way up to Radha Krishna Lila. While chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one should try to have some thoughts on Gaura Lila. So especially since we're on this yatra, in this place of Gaura Lila and Jagannath Lila, and when we chant the next day, we can reflect on the previous day's yatra and the places we visited and think, oh, we went to Haridas Thakur Samadhi, and Lord Chaitanya would come there every day, and Awaitacharya and Nityananda would sometimes sit there and chant bhajan. He would bring Mahaprasadam from Jagannath and offer to the Samadhi of Haridas Thakur. And then he would circumambulate the Samadhi, then they would sit down, they would chant. And there's three deities there, they're all sitting down. You saw Haridas Thakur Samadhi. They're all sitting down, and he's Lord Chaitanya is like this, so I envisioned that in my mind. I saw that deity, that's actually Lord Chaitanya, Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He's chanting and he's counting. And Advaita is also sitting in Tinanda. And the Samadhi is there. Samadhi Mandir, Haridas Thakur. And that's Gaura Leela, because that's Leela. He's coming there every day. Niti Leela coming there every day. He's going to Gundicha, and we heard in the Gundicha, he's sweeping the Gundicha, remember? So now you try to think, oh yes, Gaura Leela. Gundicha, I went inside, I saw the coconut trees, I saw the garden, I saw the Singhasan, very simple platform where Jagannath Balaji Subhadra sit for 9 days. And Lord Chaitanya went to Jagannath Balaji garden, and he would rest there. And so this is called Gaura Leela. It's not so difficult. Is it difficult?
No.
It's simply review. And then from this, of course, this will take us into Krishna Leela. As we said in Jagannath Vallabha Garden, what happened? Who was there? Anyone was there today?
Yes.
So what did we say? No one was there.
Good.
Body was there.
When Lord Chaitanya was remembering Krishna, then Krishna appeared and...
Underneath it, what type of tree? Ashoka tree.
And then with his appearance, the whole...
Then he ran.
And then his fragrance.
Then the Lord was there? Or where did he go?
Disappeared.
Who disappeared? Lord Chaitanya?
Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Then
the whole place was filled with the fragrance of the Lord and...
of Lord Krishna. And then how did that affect Lord Chaitanya?
He was absorbed more and more in remembering Krishna.
He was running everywhere, searching out that fragrance, and he collapsed on the ground in ecstasy. This is a picture where Chaitanya is seeing Krishna under the Ashok tree in Jagannath Vallabha Gardens. It's like an image, you know, it's like a sporty he saw vision. So that's remembering Gaura Leela, and by remembering Gaura Leela, suddenly we're in Krishna Leela, right? Krishna's there. So this is when, what are we telling right now?
That if you meditate on Gaura Leela, then
give us an entry to
Krishna
Leela. And gradually it will give us entry into Krishna Leela.
But what is this technique? What is the purpose of this technique? To improve the quality of our chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. For example, one can meditate on the deities of Nitai Gauranga on the altar, or the deities we saw in Haridas Thakur Samadhi. Very unique deities. How many deities have you seen of Lord Chaitanya sitting down? Advaita?
No.
Nityananda? No. So then that's a very special place. That's because those deities are commemorating a very special pastime. Just like in Bandiravan and Vrindavan, there's a special deity there. Who is that? What is that special deity?
Oh, Radha Krishna together and Prabhuji getting. That's
what happened there, but what's the speciality? Radha Krishna are everywhere together in Vrindavan. What's the speciality of the Radha Krishna and Bandiravan? This is a remarkable thing to record when one takes darshan. There's no deity like this in the entire world. Speak words, follow. Okay, now speak up. So there's a small temple across the street from nearby where the banyan tree is, or at least the descendant. The original banyan tree was 800 miles wide or something, some huge tree. But there's a banyan tree there and underneath the tree there's some Murti of Brahma, and we took prasadam there in that place. You were there. Vrijvasis brought us prasadam. And we had some Raikata there in Circumallee, that banyan tree. But across, that's maybe the Vivaha Stan, a place where they were married in a ritual marriage performed by Brahma. Play, like a play. Not for keeps, not real, just like children play with play house, and they're not married. They have a doll house, whatever. So then across the street there's a small mandir commemorating the pastime, and there's deities of Radha and Krishna there about this big, this size, 18 inches high or so. And Krishna is turning towards Radharani, and his thumb is like, he's turning like this, and his thumb, the deity's arm is like this, and his thumb is touching the part, the thumb is touching the part in Radharani's hair on her head, the head of Radharani deity. And he's putting some sindoor on it, what's called simanta. Simanta means the part in the hair to indicate that you're my wife. Because this is the patni china, the mark of a chaste married woman, is to have this red sindoor on the part of the hair. So I don't think there's any other deity like that in all of India. So this is was quite impressive on my mind. I've seen many times, but I said, wow, look at that deity. So we can meditate on that deity. So he's saying, meditate on deities of Mithaguranga, so we can meditate today on these deities. Very unique deities. Just like, what other very special deity is there in this town besides Jagannath? What is the speciality of Totodaya?
The only deity of Krishna sitting down.
Vrindavan is depicting that one deity once. Gopinath.
I think we're in two different places at the same time. The question I asked was, what is, besides Jagannath, which indicates Jagannath Puri, I said, beside the Jagannath deity, I'm not talking about Rimuna, here means Jagannath Puri. Now, in case you forgot, we're in Jagannath Puri now. We came back. Here in Jagannath Puri, besides Jagannath, what special deity is there?
Tota Gopinath.
So we should be a little attentive. So what's the speciality of Tota Gopinath?
It's Gauranga and Krishna together.
Yeah, that's a special. Did you hear that? You heard that? What did he say? What did he say? What did Brajman say? How is it? I only see Krishna.
Because he entered.
Who entered? Who entered the knee or whatever, right knee of Tota Gopinath. So Tota Gopinath is sitting down.
Radharani is a very special pose of playing veena.
Yeah, that's also special.
And Lalita Sakhi is playing the flute.
Yeah, well, that's not so special, because in Nidivan, Lalita Sakhi is also playing flute.
Also, the Devi sat down for the Radha Pandas.
Also,
the loving relation between the Lord and
the gopis. Krishna agreed to sit down for the gopis. Anyway, the idea is to meditate on these different deities. He's rising up like this. Or think of the Panchatattva in Mayapur. Meditate on Lord Chaitanya dancing in Rathiyatra. So all you have to do is buy my Puri book. On the cover, it has a Jagannath's cart and Lord Chaitanya dancing in Rathiyatra very ecstatically. Maybe I'll put that picture on the back cover. I like that picture. I'm going to put Jagannath's cart. I'm going to put Jagannath on the front. Or meditate on the Gambhira, where for 18 years Mahavira was deeply entering the mood of Radharani. One can think of Lord Chaitanya dancing in the early morning as he walks along the bank of the Ganga, or chanting in Sri Vasangam, or enlightening the animals in the forest of Jharkhand. Whatever pastime sticks in the mind. A devotee should pray that he may have thoughts of Gaur Lila. Especially, a devotee should pray for what? Especially thoughts of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda while he is chanting. Then gradually, without jumping, carefully one can try to think of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. It should not be forced, it should be natural. So while chanting the Lord's holy name, one should try to pray. One should pray to simultaneously have some thoughts of some pastimes. So he's told us three, he's given us 3 points here to improve our chanting. What is the first one? First one is to increase the quantity. Second one is to increase the quality. Third one is meditate on Gaur Lila, specifically he's emphasizing Gaur Lila. And the fourth one is to, he said this is very helpful in a neophyte stage, is to think of holy places. Of course, if anyone has read AOC, this is certainly already told there. All these things, Lila, Vrindavan. But it's nice to see it. To think of holy places like Vrindavan, Brikma around Govardhan Hill. Oh, this is interesting. Think of Brikma around Govardhan Hill, and while you're going on Brikma, you're going with Sri Guru, that means your Guru, or Dina Bandhu Prabhu, or some other exalted Vaishnava, or you're dancing in front of the Panchatapa deities in Mayapur. A devotee can think of all these things when chanting the Lord's holy name as well. This will help focus the intelligence on the holy name, which is very important for concentrated japa. So that's number four. Think of holy places. Lila Stali Smaran. Number five is to understand Nam Tattva. A devotee should read relevant scriptures that deal with the holy name, such as Harinam Chintamani and Jiva Dharma. Jiva Dharma chapters 23, 4, and 5, they deal specifically with Nam Aparad, Nam Abbas, and Shudanam. Read these sections and know them by heart so that one can apply those teachings to improve his understanding of Nam Tattva and improve his quality of chanting. That's very nice. Of course, these are also told in Arda chanting. This is an entry by Mahanidhi Swami, who was interviewed for this book. Of course, he has written a book also about chanting. You've heard of that book? Heard of it, but never read it. Like Prabhupada, same. History always repeats itself. Prabhupada, he went on this Radha Damodar bus. They were distributing thousands of Prabhupada's books. Then there was a driver, and he said, asked one devotee, "What do you do?" He said, "I drive the bus for you, Prabhupada." "Do you also distribute books?" "Yes, I drive the devotees, and I get out and I distribute books." Prabhupada said, "All right, can you tell me this shloka from Bhagavad Gita?" "Very simple shloka." And he said, "Prabhupada, I don't know." And Prabhupada said, "What is this? You're distributing the books, you don't read the books. You have to read the books." So even Prabhupada's own disciples were not reading his books. Other people were. Professors were reading the books, outsiders were reading the books. So that's what I often find, that my own students don't read my books. And people write me letters. "I'm so-and-so from Siberia. I read your Art of Chanting 6 times. Cover to cover. I memorized 3 chapters of the book. I use it in my preaching." So it's the outside people that more appreciate. So he says, this Swamiji, We chant the Maha Mantra in the mood of giving pleasure to Radha and Krishna. We try to feel their auspicious presence before us as we chant japa. In our heart we pray that Radha and Krishna will be happy and satisfied with our repetition of their divine holy names. Along with hearing and chanting, we often meditate on the following verse from ISKCON's deity worship book, which is titled Pancha Pradeep. I am, this is a prayer, says, I am yours, O Lord of Srimati Radharani, as are my actions, mind, and words. O Srimati Radhika, lover of Krishna, I belong to you. Although I am such a fallen offender, please be merciful and make me your maidservant.